Hello, this is Black Metal Steve from Metalhead's Rebel. This is our interview with Dan of Murderer Morgue. We talk about the new album that's being released end of August. We also talk about what it's like to be a New York-based band. Please enjoy, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook as well on YouTube.
Metalhead's Rebel, we have a special guest today, a good friend of mine, as well as my favorite local artist, Dan, with the band Murderer Morgue.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's up, brother?
No, I'm watching it, man. So tell us about the new album that you guys been working on.
So, man, all I can say is it's been a while. I mean, it was 2 years ago we released the Carbon Copy EP, and we've been hustling trying to write some new songs, get some new stuff out there, and it's been a culmination of a couple of years. Like, you have a dream and things that you want to do, and we did this Indiegogo. Do you remember seeing that at all?
I do believe, yeah.
We put out an Indiegogo, and we were shocked, but we were humbled that we got such an outpouring of support. And we were able to raise what we needed to, and we were able to get in the studio. We spent 9 days recording, which I don't know if you ever spent 9 days in a studio, but it is too long.
It sounds grueling.
It is grueling. Like, I have nightmares of a metronome in my sleep, you know.
Hear that little clicks in the background, the click tracks.
Yeah. All I hear, I close my eyes, I hear beep 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 boop beep beep. I'm like, it's happening again.
Oh man, I bet that when the microwave goes over, it's like PSD for you.
yeah, it's definitely like, oh, that's why I don't have any hair, because I would pull it right out at this point. So we put a lot of time and effort to make these songs exactly the way we wanted to, and we also wanted to show other people, you know, that this scene is alive and this scene is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like, we enjoy playing with your band. I mean, there is a killer metal scene in Central New York. And, you know, with everybody that supported us, we wanted to put out something special. And I really feel that we were able to capture that with this album. We recorded 8 new tracks. It's called the Endless Cycles album. We remastered the 3 from the Carbon Copy EP, and we snuck them on there. So when you listen to the CD, it's about 45 minutes worth of material, and hopefully it gets your head banging a little bit, you know?
Oh, man, I love the Carbon EP. That's my personal favorite you guys have done. Next to Death's Divide, of course, was a really good one as well.
Not many people know about that. You're one of the handful of people that really know about the Death's Divide EP. But there's some great songs that we wrote there, and it was really, I guess, as you know, it's kind of like that stage in your life where you did it then, and it's evolved since that point.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to the Carbon Copy EP, you can definitely hear the evolution, I guess you can say, of the band as a sound, as the sound got title. And everything got more like the melodies became more prominent in the music, which is super awesome to hear in Central New York, because, you know, we're mostly dominated by hardcore bands, but having like a melodic band like you guys, it really brings out like the essence of what metal can do.
We always say, you know, every single show, we're grateful that people come out and listen to us play. You know, it's without the support of the scene, without the people around, it's almost, I'm not going to say pointless, but it just doesn't have the same value as it does having the support of other people. I mean, we play with a lot of guys around here. I mean, Ecliptic Vision is a complete different style than us, but we love playing with them. And we just listen to a lot of melodic death metal, In Flames, Soil Work. I mean, that list can go on probably for quite some time. At the Gates. So it's all those bands gave us some influence, and we were able to take that influence that we had and, I guess, steal ideas from it, if that makes sense. I mean, imitation is the purest form of flattery. I heard that before somewhere. So we stole ideas and we kind of made them our own.
And with the new album being released, like, you guys must be, you guys over the years have probably, like you say, opened with great bands like In Flames before in the past. So it seems like the momentum of this new album might propel you more into the metal scene, both locally and globally, would you say?
I would say so. I mean, we just announced today that we're playing with Hatebreed, which that's a kind of a big deal for me. That's a band I grew up listening to, and it's their 25th anniversary, so that's cool. I would like to say, once we get this CD out here, it doesn't sound like a recording that was done in Syracuse. It sounds like it's the real deal, man. It sounds like something when you turn on Sirius XM, when you turn on, you know, any sort of radio. You could turn on any radio station, whatever it might be, and it. I think it's going to turn some heads. I really do. And I mean, I guess I'm partial because I'm in the band, you know?
And what studio you went to this time around for the album?
Oh, we went to the same place as last time. We went to More Sound out here in Syracuse, New York. We went to Justin Spaulding. He is the engineer. I mean, we in the studio, we're working on one of the songs. It's called Undertow, and this song has a lot of special meaning for us because it spoke to a time where CJ, our guitarist, was going through a real dark time in his life, and this song is kind of capturing that, the essence of that time and overcoming it. And this song is just so powerful. And in the studio, we changed the entire chorus, and I mean, John, my bass player, is like, "I'm gonna kill you guys," you know. It's like, he's like, "I cannot believe you did this," but the way it came out, I mean, it sends chills down my spine. It feels like it could be off a Soilwork album, you know. So it's really cool, some of the stuff that we have to share.
And how do you feel like being the most prominent metal bands in Syracuse, New York? Because believe me, like anytime Mudhoney Morgue is playing, like it's always like a really packed show. Like it's always a party with you guys when you guys on stage.
I guess it's kind of surreal. I mean, we've been around the scene for a while, and you kind of see the bands that kind of come and go. And we keep grinding, I guess, is the best way to say it. We keep grinding, moving forward. We just want to have fun. That's what it's all about. And you come out to a Merm show, I hope that you're having a good time. Because if you're not, I don't think we're doing our job right. You know, we get up there, we make fun of each other, we're playing around. It's about having fun, right?
Exactly.
I have a day job. Every one of us does. We don't want to work when we get on that stage. We want to just release anything that we have and just let it flow. And I feel like it's really come together. Like with this album, I think once you hear it, you'll see that it's kind of morphed a style that we didn't have before. I mean, not saying that we didn't have a style in Carbon Copy, but this, I think it really solidifies what we're trying to do.
And with going besides Hape, we got any other shows in mind that you may might be seeing you around New York playing?
So, I mean, obviously the couple big ones that we have are our two CD release shows. We're doing one in Syracuse, one in Rochester. We have a following in both areas, and a lot of our friends that live in Buffalo, it's kind of tough to make it to Syracuse. So we wanted to kind of bridge the gap and kind of meet in the middle a little bit. And do these two shows there. The one in Syracuse is September 27th. The one in Rochester is October 12th. From there, we're in the works on doing a Christmas show. Really something that we want to kind of give back, maybe like a Toys for Tots or something like that. Because, you know, we want to do good things, you know. We want to support the community and support the scene and, you know, support each other. Kind of build that positive scene.
That's true. You guys were the most positive. No wonder you guys are going to be having fun playing with Hatebreed. Besides you, Hatebreed is one of the most positive bands out there, just like you guys.
I mean, I absolutely love Hatebreed. Like, for me, you know, now is the time to rise. It got me through some hard times. Like, I got pumped up. I'm going to the gym. I'm working out, you know. And just that song is so motivational. It's so many of their songs. So it's cool to experience that and actually do that. Big Hatebreed fan.
Just like you and me, Jimmy Jasta, probably like backstage even. You guys can have a nice conversation.
I would absolutely love to. You know, it's I know that a lot of times bands come to the shows and being that we're most likely opening the show, it's they often hang out in their bus, and I get it. It's a long day. They're touring all over the place, trying to get a little rest before the show. But it would be very cool to meet Jamie and the rest of the band. I mean, it's great, and our brothers in Fall of Humanity are on that show now. So, I mean, the two of us are going to be jamming together, which I love doing that. So, this should be a very cool experience.
And give us a little bit of the background of the band. Like, tell us about, like, for the people that have not listened to Mono Remork before, like, how did the band form, and, like, how long you've been doing music in a mile of years?
So CJ and I mean, I think it goes back, what is it, 7, 8 years. CJ was in my brother's band, my younger brother, and I kind of poached him from the band. I saw him play, and I'm like, hey, this guy can play guitar. Like, he's pretty good, actually. What are you doing with this kid? And then he came over, we started jamming. We actually started playing in an old church, believe it or not. And we would crank extremely loud. A few times we had the cops called on us, but, you know, that's, I guess, to be expected. So we did that for a while. We had different people kind of drumming for us. This kid, Corey Hubin, was in the project at the time. We actually had a band name going that was Walk in Darkness was the original idea of the band name. And had a lot of fun. As this went on, CJ's neighbor was throwing a party at his house, and John Wolfe was attending it, our bass player. So CJ went over to the party, and next thing you know, John's coming over to our practice, and we can't get John to leave. So, I mean, he's hooked. Hey, what can you do?
He's the stray that got in the house. He adopted him.
Yeah, he adopted himself, I think. So, but it was funny. We started playing, and you know from being in a band or a project that when you start playing and it meshes so well together, you're like, man, this fits pretty good. I mean, this is exactly what we're looking for. And that's the story of John. Then we had we were searching so long to try to find a vocalist. I mean, we at that time we weren't doing our own stuff. We were trying to find somebody, and we found a drummer in a guy named Josh Haynes, and he joined the band, and he was with us for a few years. He was on that Death Divide album. I don't know if you remember that or not. He played with us at that time. He did most of the vocals. And then he made a career choice, which we can't blame him on. He got a job, which, I mean, I can't be mad at a guy for finding a job. That's a fact.
That's true.
So so he got a job, and then he joined that band, or he left the band. And our good friend Scott Dixon introduced us to Matt Biss. Matt came over, and he thought he was auditioning for an Iron Maiden cover band. And he was a little disappointed to find out we were not Iron Maiden. or anything like it. And then he found out that we had selected him, which was even more a surprise for him. And he's been with us ever since. So that's, and shortly after he joined the band, we actually played with Howard Jones. I think within 2 months of him joining the band, we were playing with Howard Jones and Devil You Know, which was a great way to, it's all about momentum. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were playing a lot of stuff and then all of a sudden it stopped and we sat and sat and sat for 6-8 months. And then it's like the momentum almost died. And then we got the new drummer, Matt, and we played a big show and it just took right back off. So
that's awesome. Like, that's true. Like, you make good points for love. Love local bands should never be discouraged when you lose momentum, because you know what, it always picks up. Like, you just gotta make the right moves, and eventually the band. I mean, you guys get so many big shows. Like, you played Overkill not that long ago, so like, you all guys are definitely making the right steps in the career.
It's tough, you know. It's, there's a lot of work, and I think people kind of don't realize how much work goes into it. Just the promotion side of things, making a show, you know, and it's all about hustling, right? You gotta have a hustle, and we try to hustle ourselves and our stuff out to people.
You're definitely right. Believe me, as someone, like, because you know, I'm in a band as well. We do, the hustling is a huge part of being a band. Like, music is like 70% of the job of being a band, and the other 30 is hustling, getting the promotion out. And the 30% is harder than the 70% of making music.
Like, a lot of times we sit there and we, like, I try to create media and get different things. Like, somebody told me before, they're like, you can't use memes to promote your band. I'm like, watch this. And I'll drop 12 memes in a row. And I know people say that it's like the rule, don't do it, but I guess we're an exception to the rule, because it seems to bring us some success. Maybe because we kind of play around a lot on stage and have fun, and I guess it works for us. I had different things for different people, so.
Well, believe me, I'm always looking for Morning with Morgue meme. I go on my Facebook newsfeed. There they go again, those crazy boys.
And that will, a lot of times, like John and I, we'll just start hammering each other on memes, like completely insulting each other. Just because, first off, we can't offend each other. We just can't, you know, we just make fun of each other. We bust on each other and we just have fun. And we aren't afraid to go places that some guys are like, oh, whoa, he did not just do that, you know?
And this is definitely interesting about your show. So there's always a hoedown on your shows for some
reason. No, I know it. And dude, this can happen in locations that have never, ever seen us before. And I still can't figure it out. Like, how does this, is there some sort of like weird satellite dish that beams this information into people's heads? Because all of a sudden we could be playing in the Bug Jar in Rochester. It's a venue we never played at before. Not a whole lot of people there, but all of a sudden a hoedown breaks out. We're like, no, no, that's not possible. It happens. Or, you know, Syracuse or Rochester or Buffalo or wherever it may be. It's like the hoedown follows us. I still don't know. I don't know how it happened.
It just was like later down the road, you're going to be known as the hoedown band. Like, oh, I want to see you guys split this up and make a hoedown.
I want you to, yeah, like the Wall of Death, except it's all hoedown. So I want you to grab your partner and do-si-do. You know, like, that's how brutal we're going to be, you know? Do-si-do to the death. You know, that's, we also always play, you know, pay some homage to our inspiration, Ric Flair, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
We always got to give a little shout out to him. We get that Ric Flair woo going, because that's kind of our thing.
Oh yeah, believe me, like the songs I've seen you guys play, like the workflow has to be a must. It won't be the same. It wouldn't be a Motor One Work show if they had the woo.
Gotta have the woo.
You gotta.
One of our new shirts that's coming out here is that murdering woo morgue. That's gonna be a riot. So for
some of our fans that have not heard your music, what would you say to them to convince them to come out to shows and buy the merch and follow you guys on Facebook? Like, how would you describe Motor One Morgue to like persuade them to come over to the house and jam out with you guys?
I mean, I guess I would try to sell them on some sort of pitch that, you know, hey, if you like Killswitch Engage, you like In Flames, you like Soil Work, you like As I Lay Dying, imagine if they had a baby. It's not as pretty as all four of them. It's kind of ugly and a little bit overweight, but it's pretty good looking, you know. And I would tell them that, you know, give us a chance. Check it out. You know, we're going to put on a show. We're going to have a lot of fun. We hope you're entertained. I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, new music's right around the corner. I think that's just going to hit, and I think it's going to take right off.
Thank you. Honestly, to all our fans and listeners that are tuning into this interview, definitely check out Motor One Morgue. We'll be sharing the shows on our website as well, on our main website, on our Facebook group as well, and we'll be sharing it on Extreme Metal Radio as well. We're going to be promoting the crap out of these guys' new CD, because believe me, it's going to be the best one from Central New York, in my opinion.
Thanks, man. I can't thank you enough. I mean, genuinely, from all the guys in MIRM, we can't thank you. I mean, you've been a super support of us from the very beginning, and I think we had a really cool connection right off the bat. So, again, thank you. I mean, thanks for doing all that you're doing, supporting the scene, supporting music, and doing these interviews and talking to people, because it's bridging a gap that people would never have crossed before. So, thank you.
No, thank you, Dan.
Absolutely.
You have a good one, my friend.
You have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
With a KFC, buck of KFC, and nothing can go on tonight.
Even if the power goes out, there's nothing more romantic than KFC to candlelight, right?
Exactly.
All right, brother. Hey, take care of yourself, all right?
You too, man.
Alrighty.